Time to get caught up with the folks over at the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. Jim Patterson is their interim president, CEO, and joins us now. Jim, welcome back, man. How are you?
I'm doing real, real well. Although I have to confess to you, I have been out of state for the last week, and I had to return to the heat and humidity here. Not real, real jazzed about it, my friend.
How far out of state and how much of a reduction in heat and humidity were you experiencing?
I was up in northwest Arkansas, okay, in the Arkansas Ozarks, and the temperature was 10 degrees less, and there really wasn't any humidity to speak of. Although the folks up there were complaining about the humidity, it was nothing like what we have down here in Baton Rouge.
No, not even close. I love when folks from other parts of the country, and Arkansas is not that far away, but when folks from other parts of the country can complain about heat and humidity, and it's like, you think you know. You think you know, but you don't know. There's a classic Jim Mora rant about coaching. He's like, you think you know. You think you can make that call. You can't make that call. You don't know.
Anyway, yeah, humidity.
It's brutal.
Let's not talk about humidity.
No. Let's talk about the potential of a veto override session. So we will talk about heat for sure. What are we looking at right now?
Well, the legislature, as you know, has until Wednesday to return ballots that have been mailed to them. Basically asking them if they do not want to have a veto override session. It is actually automatic by way of our Constitution, and they have to, in essence, return these ballots indicating they don't want, or a majority of them have to, in order for a veto override session not to occur. I don't think that will happen. I think that there is a strong interest in coming back starting on the 18th, which would be a week from Tuesday, to consider not just the bills that have been talked about dealing with the LGBTQ community, but also a number of other bills. There were 25 bills that the governor vetoed, plus line item vetoes in the three budget bills. And all of those are essentially on the table if the authors decide that they want to put them in play and have them reconsidered, and perhaps the veto override if the votes, in fact, are there.
Jim Patterson from LABI is our guest, the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry, your state's Chamber of Commerce. We're going to get to that two dozen bills that were vetoed in a minute. I want to start with a question about the line item veto, Jim. Just from a procedural standpoint, can the legislature affect change on individual line item vetoes?
They can.
Okay. Okay.
They absolutely can if they are in disagreement with how the governor has chosen to proceed with those respective vetoes. They can actually override them.
Okay, so that brings up a secondary question, though. That would involve reworking the entire budget, though, because a balanced budget being necessary, you override a veto and now you're out of balance.
You've got to make the monies work. But at the same time, the governor did exactly that himself. Or at least was supposed to. He could not actually impose his line item vetoes without ensuring that the ultimate budget bill was, in fact, balanced. Necessarily, it is incumbent upon the legislature to come back and make sure that when they do effect the override, they have left the bill in the same posture. And there may be disagreement between the governor and the legislature as to whether or not the bills were in balance. His vetoes purportedly were imposed to try and bring balance. He claimed that in some respects the bills were not in balance, or at least one of the bills was not in balance, and therefore he was doing what the legislature should have done. I'm not sure how the legislature will take that. That remains to be seen. And I'm not sure to what degree there is going to be a desire to go back and revisit these. Certainly, there are going to be legislators whose districts were directly impacted that would like to see those vetoes overridden. But that doesn't mean that the rest of the legislature will be going along with them.
So in order to go back with it, though, I mean, when the governor goes through with all of his line item vetoes, he's got all of his plus and minus changes on one side of the ledger, and then all of his plus and minus, additions or subtractions to help balance it on the other side. Unless the legislature is completely undoing everything, I mean, I feel like that's a tougher task than an override session to get all that done if you want to get anything else done as well.
Absolutely right. No, it is a complicated process. And again, I don't know that the desire will be there in the end, whether these things rise to a level where there's a lot of interest in doing it. You know, one of the things that the governor did was to restore the $100 million that was at least allegedly, mistakenly left out of the Department of Health and Hospitals budget. And he used some of the retirement funding that the House wanted to replace it. Whether or not there's any desire on the Senate's part to override that action per se, I don't know. I mean, there may very well be on the House's side. There may be enough votes there. But I really don't necessarily think that would be the case for the Senate because they weren't as interested in trying to address the retirement system as the House was.
We're talking with Jim Patterson from the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry about a potential of a veto override session. All right, moving away from the line item veto stuff, there's roughly two dozen bills, I think you said 25, that the governor vetoed. The ones that have been dubbed LGBTQ plus bills, although all three involve children, not just the LGBTQ plus community, those are the ones creating the most passion right now. However, from lobbyist perspective, the corporate franchise tax is probably a bigger story here. If the legislature does reconvene for a special session, what's the likelihood that they override that one?
I think that there's a very strong desire on the part of the author, Senator Brett Along, to get those bills addressed. I know that the way that it works, Senate Bill 1, which is the one that actually reduces the franchise tax, is tied to Senate Bill 6. And so there was some discussion about, you know, maybe the governor vetoes one, but he doesn't veto six. Well, six is actually the pay for one. So effectively, there would have been a tax increase on businesses, and that would not have been taken, you know, real well. Six deals with the Quality Jobs Program, and it basically reduces by half a portion of Quality Jobs rebates that that businesses can receive if, in fact, there is a reduction in the franchise tax. And Senate Bill 1, tied to it, will reduce the franchise tax every year that, starting in 25, that there is $600 million in corporate and franchise tax revenues generated the previous year. I think it's problematic, frankly, in terms of how it works, because it's kind of antithetical. If you're going to be reducing the franchise tax itself, can you actually reach the $600 million trigger level for further reductions in the franchise tax? I don't know. That's a lot of moving parts. But yeah, in any event, there was general desire on the part of the business community for that legislation. And we'll see if, in fact, there's an interest on the part of the legislature to override the governor's veto on those two bills. And it does need to do it on both bills in order for the franchise tax reduction to occur. Senate Bill 1 and Senate Bill 6 did ultimately get over two-thirds vote in their passage. So conceivably, it could happen.
We're talking with Jim Patterson from LABI about the possibility of a veto override session. Lobby doesn't normally get involved in the social bills or the social end of the bills. Are y'all hearing anything about the nature of the bills that are sparking this potential for a veto override session? I mean, this isn't really y'all's wheelhouse.
No, our members are not involved in these kinds of issues. We're not focusing on these bills at all. And haven't. We didn't during the session. In general, we're interested in seeing what develops by way of a veto override session. As I said, all bills come into play in that case, potentially. And so there are bills that we are interested in. We're trying to determine with the author of Senate Bill 196, which was a bill we supported, that requires some transparency in litigation. If, in fact, you have a case that is being financed by a third party. Right now, there is no requirement that you be aware of that, and that third party certainly has an interest in the outcome. So we basically believe it's good government to require that if someone is having their case financed by a third party, the other litigants be made aware of it, and the judge as well.
Let's get a little historical perspective. We got 2 minutes left with Jim Patterson, interim president, CEO of LABI. A little bit of historical perspective, which I don't know how much we can still cling to because it's very recent that we've seen veto override sessions. But traditionally, emotionally hot topics don't necessarily carry over into a veto override session. Can we still hold to that with the current makeup of this legislature, or can you throw out the past in Louisiana based off of what we have right now?
I will be surprised if you don't throw out the past this time. I think that these particular issues are maybe hotter than those in the past, if you will. And therefore, I think there's a very, very likely, a very great likelihood that will in fact occur. Which ones that occurs with, I can't particularly say, but I would be very surprised if that doesn't actually happen. You have a lame duck governor, an outgoing governor. He is not, I don't think, on this particular issue aligned with the legislature in general. And I do think that there is a high degree of potential that some or all of these bills that we're talking about could very well be, the veto could very well be overridden.
And it's the same, the fact that we have a lame duck governor and likely going to have a Republican governor next year, that makes it all the more baffling to see this level of motivation to get back in there when you could just hold off for a year and come back next year and pass with no problem. He is Jim Patterson, head of LABI. Man, we always appreciate the time. Great talking to you.
Good talking with you. Thank you, Brian.